and all that you're doing and all that you promised to do. We thank you, Lord God, that every day in every way our eyes are becoming open wider and wider to the truth. And for that, we're thankful for, Lord God. Lord God, bring your word today, Lord God. Let your word reach our ears, Lord God. Hallelujah. And let it be receptive. Father, speak to us individually as to what you would have us to do as a result of the words that we hear today. Now, Lord, we give you the glory and we invite you into our hearts. Come on in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you, music team. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. All the time. Hallelujah. Has God been good to you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, you better start educating your children. I don't care how young they are. Start putting that word in them. Early, early, early. Spend quality time with them. Get them close so that they'll want to hear your voice. Because when they get grown now, if you haven't done that, hallelujah, it's really hard to get anything into their hearts. So if you got children, listen, just do that. Just do that. Listen, we've been talking about, and we've been talking toward Christians. You may be here today, and maybe you're not saved, but listen, at least these messages will let you know what life is like for Christians. And we've been talking about understanding who we are. I want to just throw a little analogy up there. Does anybody here remember Popeye? Yes. Raise your hand if you remember Popeye, all these old folks. Hallelujah, yes. You know, Popeye's secret weapon was what?
Yes.
We know the story. Amen. Now, I want you to imagine Popeye laying out in a field of spinach. Just laying out in a field of spinach. And Bruto comes along. You know Bruto, right? He always whipping up on Popeye, trying to anyway. And he comes and he starts hollering at him, screaming at him, cussing at him. And then he picks Popeye up and he just starts beating him. And he's beating him. And he's beating him. And then he throws him about on the ground. And then there's poor Popeye laying on the ground and say, oh, please stop, Mr. Bruto. Please stop. You have beat me enough. Please stop. But as soon as he said, please, Brutus just reached down and got him again. And he beat him some more. Now, what's wrong with that story? First of all, Popeye don't know who he is. He's the one that's been revealed the secret of power, which is the spinach. And secondly, listen to me, even though because he don't know who he is and what he can do with that spinach and what the spinach can do for him, he goes without and he gets beat up every day. Every day. Now hear you hollering at Popeye from the background. And what are you saying to Popeye? What are you saying? What are you saying? Eat the spinach, Popeye. And you say it so much you want to go and beat Popeye yourself. You're saying, what's wrong with this food? All he got to do is eat the spinach. And poor Brutus, he be messed up. But because Popeye don't know who he is, and he doesn't understand the power of the spinach, he gets beat. And that's what happens to a lot of confessing Christians. They don't know who they don't know who they are. And they don't understand the power of God's word getting inside of them. Are you with me? See, some people think that I'm just vain when I say I'll never be broke again another day in my life. And they say, well, he just don't know. He can't control it. Listen. I know who I am, and I know the power of God's word in me. Therefore, I can call us whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, do what?
Believe.
Believe that you receive them, and what's going to happen? Do you believe that? See, if you really, really believe that, you'll never be broke another day in your life. But if you don't know who you are, and you don't know what the word can do for you, or maybe you don't have the word in you, you need to have it in you. Not just in your head, but in your spirit. You need to have it. And that's why God said, all right, just start teaching on understanding who we are as the first step. Because once you understand who you are in Christ, now without Christ, you, hallelujah, you better stay away from Brutus. But if you understand who you are, that devil can try all he wants. Amen? If you understand who you are, you're not just a church goer. You're not. Those of you that are confessing salvation and have received it, it's one thing to say the words that some preacher told you to repeat after them, but it's another thing. Listen, God knows when you're sincere. And it's sincerity that opens the door for him to come in. It's not just those words. It's sincerity. And he know when you're ready for him. He know. See, some people can get themselves in a mess and they can get scared. And they really want God to come into them, but they don't want to let go of their old life. So they're really not sincere. I may not know that, but God knows that. So God stands on the outside and he's saying, listen, I hear you, but I can't get in there because you're not really ready for me. But when you're ready for me, I'm coming in and I'm giving you a new spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And you're going to turn to somebody else. Just like Popeye turns into somebody else when he eats that spinach. You're going to be a whole new creature. If a man be in Christ, he's a
new creature.
That's not my words. That's God's words. But we don't understand that. Today I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about eternal redemption. Eternal means forever. 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 How'd you like to go on a job and the people tell you as soon as you start working, they say, you know, you're a pretty good person. And this is what our company going to do. We selected you, and we're going to give you a paycheck. Listen to me now. We're going to give you a paycheck forever. Forever. As long as you're breathing anyway, we're going to give you a paycheck, whether you show up to work or not. Now, wouldn't that be some good news? Now, chances are we wouldn't show up because we know we're going to get it. But we talk about today eternal redemption. God said, what I want to do for you, I want to do for you forever. Not just while you're here on planet Earth, but forever. We don't understand that word eternal because everything has a beginning and an ending with us in this world. Let me just review just really quickly some of the things that we've already said. We said a couple of weeks ago that you are a spirit. The real you is a spirit. And you have a soul. That's your mind, your will, and your emotion. And you live inside of what? A body. You live inside a body. Your spirit has been born again, but you have to renew your soul if you want your body to move differently. Does that make sense to everybody? You become a whole new creature. So what you have to do is release stuff to the soul because the soul controls your body. And as you grow in the Lord, hallelujah, you consume more. And then as you consume more, you release more to the soul, and the soul caused the body to start changing. Hallelujah. It just started doing it. I can't explain it. It's just the way it works. It's the way it works. It's just the way it works. You know, I can go to somebody's house, listen, and they could be a drinker. Yeah, I told you before I was an ex-drinker. I can go to the house, they can have all kinds of booze on the table. Listen. My body won't be affected by that. It won't be affected. I can sit there and witness to them as if the bottles were not there. But there was a time when I saw it, I want it. Are you with me? Those of you that's been there know what I'm talking about. Right? But when your soul, listen, gets changed by your new spirit, then all of a sudden your body, hallelujah, start acting differently. That's good news here today. Hallelujah. Your old spirit produced the works of the flesh, whereby your new spirit, and I'm just reviewing now, your new spirit is supposed to produce the fruits of the spirit. I'm not covering that again, but that's what's supposed to happen. Hallelujah. And the way this thing works, I know you're not going to hear this in a lot of different places, but this is the way it works. I've got to slow down and make sure you get this. You get a new spirit, which means you're a whole different person inside you. And then as you eat, not the spinach, but as you eat the word, you start reading and memorizing and meditating on your word, that gets into your new spirit. And as your spirit gets filled up with the newness, it releases the newness into your soul. And then your soul starts causing your body to act differently. That's it in a nutshell. That's it in a nutshell. So why are you telling me that, preacher? Because I want you to understand this. I told you the darkness is getting darker, and you need to be able to stand. Even though you have a new spirit, if you don't feed that spirit, the word of God, listen, if you don't get that word of God in your spirit so that you have more to release, and then you don't release it to your soul, your body is going to keep doing what it's been doing before. And people will be saying, I thought he was saved. I thought she was saved. Why are they doing that? Hallelujah. Because nothing new has gotten into the spirit. Therefore, nothing new has been released by the spirit to the soul. Therefore, nothing new has been released to the body. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. That's how this thing works. That's why you can have confessing Christians still doing stupid stuff. But for every act of disobedience, what is there? You don't get away with nothing, folks. Amen? So why bring that mess on yourself? So the secret really is to get more of that word into your spirit. Oh, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Still reviewing. It says these fruits of the spirit are manifested as you renew your mind with the word of God. I just said that. The Bible says that we are already righteous and holy in God's eyes as soon as you get born again. God sees you as a righteous and holy and truly holy. Why? Because he's looking at your spirit. He's not looking at, hallelujah, he's not looking at your flesh. He's not looking at your action. There's come a time today where you need to hear this. You need to hear this. You say, well, what you telling me? You're telling me that I can get saved, listen, and still smoke that weed? But you can if you want to. Amen? You can if you want to, but you're going to have a season of disorder. Is everybody clear as to what I'm saying? And God's got nothing to do with that. That's a universal law that God has put out there and put into this universe. Oh, yeah, you can keep doing it. You mean I can get saved and still run around with this guy's wife? Well, you can if you want to, but you're going to have a season of disorder. And sometimes those seasons of disorder get so bad. Let me tell you, you will surely wish you had not. You will surely wish you had not. You surely wish you had not. Hallelujah. God is a good God, folks, all the time. All the time. I remember I told you the other week, I remember one time when I just did something I know I shouldn't have done, you know, being a saved person. And that thing haunted me so bad, I just seemed like I cried all night long. And God said, your crying is just a first step. You better stop doing that. And if you do it again, you're going to see the next step. I said, you ain't got to tell me twice. I repented. Hello? We are humans. We're humans. We're humans. But just because we're human, you don't have to yield to the flesh. I'm telling you, God will give you power. He will give you power to say no to anything. Hallelujah. When you're saved, you are one with Jesus Christ right now. Hallelujah. I don't know if we'll really ever get to understand that. But we're one with Jesus Christ. His spirit comes in and we become one. Once you believe, once you get saved, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit. That's what we talked about last week. You're sealed. The Holy Spirit's seal keeps the good in and the bad out. So no matter what you do in the natural, it'll never get to your spirit. If you understand that, please say amen. Amen. It can't get to your spirit because your spirit is sealed. But there will be a season of disorder for your life. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't no fool. Amen. You whip me one time, you're going to whip me a second time for the same thing. Anybody here ever got a whipping? Amen. I think that's gone out. I don't think nobody get whippings anymore. I don't know. Well, you get one of those old-fashioned whippings. Hallelujah. Whatever you got it for, you ain't going to do that thing no more. You may do something else, but you ain't going to do that thing no more. Let's talk a little bit today about eternal redemption, understanding who we are. Now, Hebrews 9 contrasts the Old Testament law with the New Testament grace. What we've received through Jesus in the New Covenant is far, far superior to what the people in the Old Testament had. So much better. The Old Testament sacrifices had to be offered over and over and over again. But now that Jesus has given his life as a sacrifice for you and for me, and I hope you grasp that. He's given his life so that you can have a new life. But now that Jesus has given that life, the sacrifice for sin, it never again needs to be repeated. It's a one-time thing. That's why when you get saved, hallelujah. That's why when you get saved, listen, you stay saved. There is a way for you to lose your salvation. We'll talk about that next week. But 99.9% of the people get saved will never experience that. Never, never. Through Christ, the perfect sacrifice for sin has been made once and for all. Once and for all. So you don't have to do 25 Hail Marys. For those of you that's Catholic, you understand that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to have 25 jobs in the local church for you to be righteous. You don't have to do those kind of things. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. Your born-again spirit never needs to be re-cleansed or re-purged or born again. This is it. Eternal redemption. That's good. That'll be good news for somebody. Now, once again, I'm not talking about just voicing some words out there that you don't have no intentions of letting God direct you because you enjoy doing what you're doing so badly. The devil's always going to give you something that looks good, smells good, tastes good. Come on, sound good and feel good. He's always going to do that. But it's never anything that's good for you. It's never anything that's good, that's going to benefit you. It's always, It's always going to rob you. No matter what it is, it's always going to rob you. And whatever the devil has in control of your life with, he'll use that to take everything you got. If it's money, listen, let me tell you. If you got a little bit of money, he'll take that. If you got a little bit of prestige, he'll take that. He'll take whatever little bit you got. He don't want you to have nothing. Let me take you to Hebrews chapter 9 and look at verse 11 and 12. Hallelujah. Now, these scriptures are from in the King James Version. Hebrews 9, 11 through 12 say, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle or temple, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of the goats and calves, that they did for the sacrifices, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So if you're saved, you're going to be saved until this body dies and beyond that. So mama, get that out of your mind. So many confessing Christians, there's some that even come to church because they're scared God's going to do something to them if they don't come. Hallelujah. Well, your pastor's not going to do nothing to you. And I don't think God's going to do anything to you. But if God is telling you to go to church, you don't want to go to church, and you don't go to church, listen, you're going to mess around here with a season of disorder. He's done it. You're saved. You're saved, and you're saved forever. Don't get this thing in your mind. I don't care what you do. Listen, I don't care what you do. You say, preacher, that's a dangerous thing to say. I'm telling you. You're saved. You have eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. I told you a few minutes ago, next week I'm going to tell you that one thing that could be done. Hallelujah, to lose your salvation. But 99.9% of us won't do that. So you don't have to worry about that. All right? You're saved. So don't stop letting the devil beat you up. Say, people, stop letting them do that. You're saved. You say, well, I don't read the Bible enough. Hallelujah. You're still saved. Well, I don't go to church enough. You're still saved. Now, here again, now I am not throwing out a blanket of freedom to do whatever you want to do. I would not recommend that. I told you, I've experienced seasons of disorder. You don't want to do it. Anybody here ever raised children? You ever had a child tell you they ain't doing it? I've raised four or five of them in my house. There's been times folks just going to do what they won't do. Amen. You know when I say, oh, no, you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you're going to do it. Because I control the season of disorder. Are you with me? Are you with me? You're going to do it. Yeah, I know. You ain't got to worry about that. You're going to do it. This thing is real, folks. If you're going to be saved, be saved. But know that once you get saved, you have eternal redemption. So don't let the devil trick you out of that. Hallelujah. Your salvation is eternal. That's good news. Some of us come from different doctrines and different denominations, and people preach all kinds of stuff. I don't know. But listen, to me, you got to stick with the word. If it lines up with the word, all right, we can run together. But if it don't stick with the word, if it's just that way because you and your little group believe that, I'm sorry, but I got to stick with the word. Are you with me? Who in the world is the Pope to say, listen, that Christians ought to be blessing same-sex marriages? That's against the word. God really wants this point driven home, folks. The point that your salvation is eternal. You have eternal redemption. That's something to be glad about. That's something to be glad about. The devil wants you to think that his way of doing things is much more relaxing, much more fun, or whatever. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like being in God. Amen. There's nothing like being in God. Amen. There's nothing like not being guilty about anything. There's something about having more than enough of whatever it is you need. Amen? Amen. There's something about that. There's something about God being pleased with you. Listen, that the devil could never give you anything to match that. Never. 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 Not ever. Hallelujah. God is a really good God. New Testament believers need not be conscious of sin. I don't think about sin anymore. I just follow the Spirit of God. Amen. You don't even need to be conscious of sin anymore. Let me take it to Hebrews chapter 10 and 1. See, it's all in the Word, folks. This one book I was telling with Sister Eva this morning, all the billions of paper books that we have on planet Earth, but this one book, it seemed like it's so hard for us to just dedicate some time to just digest in this one book. One book. Between two covers. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 and 1 says this. Listen. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, everybody say can never. Can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year after year after year continually, make the comer thereunto perfect. I don't care what kind of sacrifice you make. Come on now. You can't get perfect by doing sacrifices. Amen. Folks say, well, I go to church every week. And the answer to that is, so what? So what? So you go to church every week. So what? So what? What are you entitled to? What? We come here because God says, don't forsake the gathering together of yourselves. God told us that. He said, don't forsake that. Every opportunity you get, come together. That's why we're here. We ain't doing God no favor by coming into a building. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the very next verse, verse 2, says this. For then would they, if the sacrifice could handle everything, he says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshiper once purged should have no more conscience of sins. He said, no, sacrifices don't mean anything. See, it's good news today that you and I have eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. Once we get it, we can dance all night. There's nothing the devil can do to take us to hell. Isn't that good news? Amen. Isn't anybody here want to go to hell?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
Well, I'm telling you, before you get salvation, that's his ultimate goal. Listen, that's his ultimate goal, to keep you from getting saved so he can take you to hell. And when you get there, you don't come back. You don't, most people don't come back anyway. You don't come back. And that's his game. Hallelujah. God's a good God all the time. If you believe the truth of God's words, you can literally reach a place where you're no longer sin conscious. You don't worry about it. Am I going to do that? Am I going to do it? No, never comes to your mind. Never comes to your mind. Only thing that comes to your mind is the word of God and what he's telling you to do right now. Hallelujah. You would recognize that your spirit has been sanctified and perfected. For how long? Forever. Forever.
Amen.
You are saved forever. All right? Folks say, I got to get saved again. How you going to get saved again? You're going to have to crucify Christ again. We're saved forever. Is that not good news, folks?
Amen.
Eternal redemption. That's what you got. That's what you got. That's what you got. If Popeye could have kept that spinach inside his gut forever, Brutus would never have been able to mess with him. But he had to go back to that can of spinach over and over and over again. But you and I don't have to do that. We have eternal redemption. That's good news here today. Don't you ever get confused about that again. Don't you ever let the devil scare you with that again. When you get it, you got it. When you get it, you got it. Amen? Then from there, it's just a matter of growing. It's just a matter of keep growing. God doesn't see you as a sinner. Even though once you get saved, you may sin. He doesn't see you as a sinner. He sees you as a child of his. I know as saved people, when we do things that God don't want us to do, I believe God's sitting in the background saying, oh, there you go again. I sure hate for them to have to go through what they're getting ready to go through. But I can't protect them because they did it. There's a season of disorder got to come. You're saved, folks. Look at somebody and tell them you're saved forever. God is a good God. Your spirit has been recreated in righteousness and true holiness, and it cannot sin. I'm not talking about your body. I'm talking about your spirit. Your spirit cannot sin. But the old spirit could. It could. You know it could. Neither can it be penetrated by sin in your body or soul. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit's seal. That's good news here today, folks. That's good news. You don't have to prove nothing to nobody. Amen? You don't have to do anything to make God love you. God loves you anyway. You're one of his. You're eternally saved. Eternally saved. Hallelujah. Eternally saved. And if you ever get into that word of God, let me tell you, you're going to be something else. You're going to be something else. You're going to experience some things that you thought you never, ever could experience. You're going to start seeing some things that you didn't see before. You're going to start hearing some things that you never thought you'd hear before. You're going to start doing some things that you never thought you would do before. What God has for you will blow your mind if you really understood it. Hallelujah. But you got to get to the place where you hear God and you understand God and you obey God. Let's talk about the past, present, and future just for a moment. See, you've been forgiven for your sins, past, present, and anything you're going to do tomorrow. He said, oh, there you go now. I can do it. Ah, yeah, you can do it if you want to. But there's going to be a season of disorder. Nobody gets away with anything, but you're still saved. But who wants to go to that through that uncomfortable situation? Who? Not me. Do you? No. I don't think so. That's what redemption means. Your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Eternal redemption. You've been redeemed eternally. I know somebody said, well, you better not tell nobody that. They go out and do anything that they wouldn't have done before. You do it if you want to. Amen? You do it if you want to. You're going to wind up being calling somebody in the middle of the night and say, please pray for me. God is a good God. This, you know, God is so loving, he tells us all this stuff ahead of time so that we'll be aware of this thing. Jesus paid for all sins, past, present, and future. The price has been paid. So once you accept salvation, that's it. You are eternally redeemed, eternally, eternally. I don't want you to be confused about that or worry about that. No more. Hallelujah. No more. You know what it's almost like? And God just dropped this in my spirit. It's almost having a foster child in your house that you're taking care of as foster parents. And that child likes you and you like that child. But you know, listen to me. The relationship changes. Everything changes when you decide to adopt that child. All of a sudden, that child don't see himself, he saw himself or herself as a foster child. They see themselves as belonging to you. Amen? It's something that belongs to the father, to the mother. They see their relationship change. And that's what happens with salvation. You and I are no longer strangers to God. We're one of his children. Hallelujah. And that's what the devil don't want you to know. Eternal redemption. Look at verse 10 in Hebrews chapter 10. See, when Jesus died, he put a will into effect. And this is what he says. By the which will we are sanctified, how? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, how often? Once for all. Ha! That's good news. You see, generally speaking, Pentecostals were the one who came up with the doctrines of backsliding. Well, you didn't backslide. You got to get saved again. I can't get saved no more. Amen? If I'm saved, I'm saved. Please don't take me lightly here today. Don't play with God. You don't want that season of disorder coming into your life. You really don't want it at all. You don't want that. See, you think, well, God may just tap me on the hand. Let me tell you something. You get caught out there in sin, you may die.
That's right.
You may still be saved, but you may die and cut your life short.
That's right.
Without accomplishing the purpose or the plan of God.
Amen.
You don't want that. God don't want that. I don't want that. None of us don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So those Pentecostals, a lot of times, would just say that. They come up with this doctrine of healing. That every time you sin, you would lose your salvation and you don't confess it. That if you don't confess it before you die, you'll go to hell. Despite the fact that you've been born again, maybe for many years. I'm here to tell you today, you have eternal redemption. You're not going to hell. Boy, how quiet it getting here. You're not going to hell. Anybody here saved? Then you're not going to hell. Is that good news here today? You're not going to hell. That's good news. And let me tell you something about that news. That news should free you up. What are you worried about dying for? You need to be worried about accomplishing whatever it is God's got you here to do.
Amen?
Why are you worried about dying? I don't nobody worry about dying. The body dies. We told you that. But then you'll be with the Lord forever. And of course, and by everything I know, it's going to be a lot better than it is here.
Amen.
You're saved, and you're saved forever. Isn't that good news?
Yes, it is.
You have eternal redemption. That's who you are. Man, that's good news. Now you can just stop trying to please God, hallelujah, and just do whatever it is God tells you to do. Hello? We got so many Christians running around here going to church, going to this church, going to that church, you know, doing this, doing that, so that people can see them. You better stop worrying about those people. Those people don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in.
Amen.
Amen. You do what God tells you to do. You go where God tells you to go. You say what God tells you to say. You be what God tells you to be. That's what being saved means. God is good. You don't have to worry about nobody. Just do the right thing. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sometimes people erroneously interpret Hebrews 10 and 10, which to mean one sacrifice for all the people. That's not what it means. The context proven in Hebrews 10, 10, it actually means one sacrifice made you holy for all times. For all times. That's good news, knowing that you're not going to hell. Say, well, I better go to church. I don't want to go to hell. Look, you're saved. You're not going to hell. You go to church because God has told you to go to church.
Amen.
You don't have a choice about that. I keep telling you, you don't have a choice whether you shop in Walmart or Piggly Wiggly. Not if you're following God, because if you follow the peace, you may be going to Walmart and God switch it around and send you to Piggly Wiggly. Not for the product, but for the people. You never know what God is doing. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. Look at verse 11. I'm going to read verse 11 through 14 for you. See, you need to understand this. Your life will change once you understand this eternal redemption thing. The fact that you're not going to hell. And you don't have to prove it to anybody. You definitely don't have to prove it to God. He's the one that accepted you into his body. He's the one that made you whole. He's the one that caused you to be righteous and holy. He's the one. He already know who you are. But once he accepts you, you belong to him. I guarantee you, once you give your life to God and you step across the line and try to do something bad, you're going to regret it. I'm telling you, you're going to regret it. And some people say, well, that's why I got to put off being saved. Fool, you better get saved. You had to get saved. You say, well, I got to get saved. Well, if you don't think you got to get saved, you tell me what day you're going to die. What day you going to die? See, that day may be tomorrow. And you around here talking about, well, I'm going to put it off. You better, fool, you better get saved. Amen. I ain't worried about what church you go to. Let me tell you something. You get genuinely saved, you're going to go where God sent you to go. I know that for a fact. If you're conscious of God at all, that's where you'll go. God is a good God all the time. Look at verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. He's talking about the Old Testament, which can never take away sins. But this man, talking about Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Amen.
You have eternal redemption, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You're not going to hell if you're saved. Now, once again, now, if you're just somebody's church member, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. If you're just somebody's church member, you're not saved, you better ask those people for a certificate so you can take something to hell with you. And you better ask for a digital one because you can't take paper with you. Are you with me? This thing is real. Our culture is going to change so fast. It's changing now, but many of us don't see it. It's going to change so fast, everybody going to know who you are. Everybody going to know whether you're saved or not, because the pressure is going to get so great. Hallelujah. That those who don't have genuine salvation, they're not going to make it. They're just not going to make it. They're just going to buckle down, buckle under whatever the society is doing. They're not going to make it. So God said, tell them now. Tell them now the benefits of being saved. You get saved, you have eternal salvation. And think about it just for a moment. You're going to die anyway. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? What? 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 I've looked at a lot of caskets and a lot of bodies in caskets, but I've never seen a fifth of scotch in any of those caskets. They might have had one hidden in there somewhere, but I've never seen it because what's the point? You can't take it with you. What's the point? God is a good God. Christ's one offering perfected and sanctified you forever. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
I don't think folks really understand this thing. It's time. If you're here today and you're in the sound of my voice, and you're hearing what I'm saying here to you today, it's God really telling you it's time. Whether you're confessing salvation or not, God is telling you it is time. If you haven't truly given your life to Jesus Christ, it is time. It is time. It is time. God is a good God all the time, folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your spirit has been perfected forever, all time, for all times. Hallelujah. There is an answer to sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He's talking to the saved folks there. Can you continue doing wrong even though you got saved? He says in verse 2, he says, God forbid. See, there's a lot of other ways to say that. But he says, God forbid. How shall we, talking about saved folks, that are dead to sin, live any longer thereof? I challenge anybody in the sound of my voice to tell them how sin has truly benefited them. It has not. The devil comes with a pleasure for a moment, but that's just so that he can get deeper and deeper into your life. That's all that is. That's all that is. Nothing else. Hallelujah. Unless the question comes up, we aren't preaching the same gospel as Paul preached, because he came up. He said, how should we live there any longer in this stuff? Paul dealt with it in four different times. Typically, teaching today ties God's love and acceptance and everything else to your performance. People are preaching all over the world and teaching. He said, well, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, you know, this is not about what you do. Are you with me? It's not about what you do. Once you get saved, you're saved. You save eternally. I told you before, once you get saved and you start doing stuff outside the will of God, then you're just a fool. Okay, nobody going to go outside in the street and lay down on the ground and holler, beat me. Take all their clothes off and say, beat me. Anybody, beat me. Beat me. Beat me again. Are you going to do that? No, you're not going to do that. And if you got any sins at all, once you got saved, listen to me now. The devil tried to come to make you sin. You just need to rebuke him, just like he did, like Jesus did him. Amen. When he come to Jesus with all that foolishness, Jesus says, it is what? Written. It is written. God has said it. It is written. Hallelujah. The Bible doesn't teach that God accepts or rejects you because of your actions. It teaches that your actions can never be good enough. Never, ever be good enough. That's good news, though. That means you don't have to prove anything to God, to the preachers, to the folks out in the world. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. Nobody. Righteousness comes through confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Righteousness is not based on your actions. You have eternal salvation. You have eternal redemption. You're saved forever. You don't have to prove it to anybody. Just got to believe it. Amen. And walk in it and live in it. The devil will try to make you think it's about you and how holy you are. He's still laughing at you. It's not about you. But once you get saved and you get awakened to the reality of salvation, you're not going to want to sin. And people say, well, I don't know the difference. Well, you will know the difference. Once you get saved and you try to sin, hallelujah, and that season of disorder come upon you, you'll know the difference. There's nothing here on planet Earth, let me tell you something, that's worth going to hell for.
Amen.
Nothing. There's nothing and nobody.
Amen.
Nobody. Nobody. Because once this body stops breathing, hallelujah, it's all over. And whatever it is you thought you enjoyed, it's gone. It's just gone. Could I get an amen on that thing?
Amen.
Paul continues in Romans 6, giving two reasons why Christians should live holy. First of all, he says, your new nature desires that. That's why you should live holy, because you got a new nature and it desires that. And secondly, you don't want to give the devil access to your soul and body through sin. Through sin. Hallelujah. The devil's not going to stop trying to get you to do the wrong thing. If he can't get you directly, then he'll use somebody else. He'll use somebody to make you upset so you can do the wrong thing, maybe even say the wrong thing. You think all those cussing words are gone from you, huh? You let somebody push the wrong button. And then you be saying, where'd that come from? Well, you know it comes from inside. You ain't killed it yet. You know where it came from. Didn't come from next door. It came from you because it's still there. And you got to get rid of that thing. How you live doesn't affect your spirit's righteousness, but it greatly affects your life.
Amen.
I'm going to close with this one scripture. Romans chapter 6, verse 2 and 3 says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Hallelujah. You can go around saying you're saved if you want to and not really be saved. But when this body stops breathing and it has to go back to dust, you're going to hell. I know somebody say, I wish he stopped saying going to hell. I wish there were more options, but there are not more options. You're going to live eternally somewhere. There used to be a singer a long time, Bob Dylan, a little young white man. He sung this song, you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. You think this is all there is, this little time on planet Earth. So you're trying to get the best of it. No, 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 no. Because you can't die, you're going to live somewhere.
Amen.
Somewhere. Eternally. Those of you who are saved, you're eternally saved. You're eternally redeemed. You're going to live with God. When this body stops working on this side, you're going to be with God. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Those of you who have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen to me now. Listen to me. When the body stops, you're going to live eternally too. But you're going to live it in hell with the devil. Now, I don't know what that's all about. Listen, maybe it's a hoax. I don't know. But are you willing to gamble on that?
No.
Are you willing to try that?
No.
See, there's some people say, well, try me. Okay, you okay. Okay, try me. Hallelujah. Heaven and hell are real.
Yes, it is.
Those of you that are saved, you have eternal redemption. And the devil don't let him talk you out of that. Don't let him think you're saved today and you got to get saved again tomorrow, or saved next week and saved next month. No, 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 no. If you're saved, you're saved. You're saved. You say, well, preacher, how will I know that I'm saved? The Bible says, once again, we quoted that today. If a man be in Christ,
he's a new creature.
Hallelujah. The old has passed away and everything's become new. Oh, you'll know. You'll know because you just won't want the same thing anymore. You may not be spiritually mature when you first get saved, but you're saved. You'll be a whole new creature. We want to open the floor. If there's anybody here in this building, anybody at all that's not saved and you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ, hallelujah, just stand right where you are if there's one. Hallelujah. We don't know when it's the last day. We really don't know. And listen to it. Don't, if you're not saved, don't try to pretend that you're saved. Come on now. Amen. Pretenders go to hell too.